In late February, the island nation of Sri Lanka celebrated the one-year anniversary of a ceasefire after 20 years of war. For two decades, Sri Lanka has been torn apart by ethnic conflict between the majority Sinhalese, mostly Buddhists, and minority Tamils, who are mostly Hindus. A year of peace talks between the Sri Lankan government and the Tamil rebel group known as the Liberation Tigers of the Tamil Eelam have sparked hope among many Sri Lankans that the war may finally be over.
But both the army and the LTTE continue to recruit soldiers and stockpile arms, and the sixth round of peace talks between the LTTE and Sri Lanka are on shaky ground. The specter of war still looms over Sri Lanka, and many Sri Lankans have yet to taste the dividends of peace. From Jaffna, Miranda Kennedy reports.
Jaffna is the heartland of the Tamil people of Sri Lanka, who have fought for two decades with the Sinhalese majority for a separate Tamil state. Now Jaffna is occupied by the Sri Lankan army, and it is a destroyed city. Even after 1 year of ceasefire, the scars are still visible. Shattered houses line the streets, and almost every building is scarred by shrapnel. More than 65,000 people have been killed on the tiny island of Sri Lanka in the battle waged against the Sri Lankan government by the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, or LTTE. Father Bernard is a Tamil Catholic priest and human rights activist in Jaffna.
If the language of nonviolence is not understood, then we are forced to speak a language that will be understood. The Tamil identity would have been wiped out in Sri Lanka, if not through killing, through imposition of the singular language and all sorts of measures, colonization of Tamil areas. Although I am for nonviolence, I believe that had the Tigers not fought, that the Tamils either would have been killed or somehow the Tamil phenomenon would not be existing now in Sri Lanka.
After Sri Lanka gained its independence from Britain in 1948, the newly democratic state instituted sweeping discriminations against the Tamil people, who make up only 12% of Sri Lanka's population. The state banned the Tamil language, forcing many Tamils out of government jobs, and attacks on Tamils became regular occurrences. To Villapillai Prabhakaran, a teenage smuggler and car thief, it became clear that creating a Tamil state was the only option. So in 1975, he and his friends, steeped in the revolutionary theory of Che Guevara and Ho Chi Minh, founded the LTTE. A mass slaughter of Tamil civilians several years later helped win widespread support for his armed struggle. The LTTE quickly established itself as one of the most brutally efficient guerrilla groups in the world. Prabhakaran has lived underground for two decades, leading the guerrilla war from deep within the island's northern jungles. Buddhists chant at the sacred Bodhi tree temple in Anuradhapura. In 1985, the LTTE attacked this temple, killing over 100 Sinhalese. The LTTE have a long history of political assassinations and attacks on civilian targets. Military analysts believe that terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda have studied the tactics of the LTTE, especially their ruthless use of suicide bombers, or Black Tigers. 1 year ago, the Norwegian government brokered a ceasefire agreement between the two parties. Teitur Torkelsen is the spokesperson for the Sri Lankan monitoring mission overseeing the ceasefire.
Both parties are broke. The government is out of money. LTTE is out of money, especially after 11th of September, when their sources were made very difficult for them to get. And then, of course, international environment is that there is no tolerance for any armed conflict for anything almost. But what the LTTE very much longs for is international recognition. And you cannot have international recognition today if a part of the struggle is suicide bombing techniques, child recruitment, or any violation of human rights.
The LTTE says they are now committed to peaceful means of achieving Tamil self-governance. Although Sri Lanka's government unequivocally nicks the idea of a separate Tamil state, peace talks center around creating regional autonomy for the Tamils within Sri Lanka. Anton Balasingham is the chief LTTE negotiator in the peace talks.
If Sri Lanka government offers the Tamil people a form of self-government and autonomy in recognition of our homeland, nationality, and also this right to self-determination, then we will consider that offer. But if the government refuses to give us proper autonomy, proper self-government, and continues with this repression, then we have no other alternative but to fight for political independence and statehood.
The question that dogs the LTTE is whether they can transform from a militant organization into a mainstream political entity. In the Sinhalese-majority South, many find it hard to imagine LTTE leader Prabhakaran becoming a legitimate politician. Paikiosothu Saravanamuttu is the executive director of the Center for Policy Alternatives in Colombo, Sri Lanka's capital. He is a close advisor to the Sri Lankan government in the peace talks.
The LTTE has taken actions in the past which are fascistic in nature. There are no two ways about that. They've also taken actions in the past which are terroristic in nature. But as an organization, they could not have functioned for so long and arrived at a position like this without some measure of popular support. This organization has now entered into a process, and one has to think of a process which yokes the two sides into a commitment to a just and peaceful political settlement.
Many say the LTTE has doubled the size of its forces since the ceasefire began. In villages across rebel-held Sri Lanka, parents whisper of their children being coerced or forced to join the LTTE, but few dare to speak of it publicly. Jaisarana Raj joined the Tigers when he was 13 years old. Now he is 22. 10 months ago, he deserted and surrendered to the Sri Lankan security forces.
The LTTE requested a lot of money from my parents, but they are very poor, so my mother gave them me instead. They had already given my brother, and he died in battle. I didn't want to go to the LTTE, but now I am a traitor to them, and if I return to society, the LTTE will kill me. I am afraid to go home.
Over the last year, UNICEF has recorded over 700 complaints of child conscription from parents. Although the LTTE denies ever recruiting soldiers under the age of 18, international attention has forced the LTTE to make concessions. They recently began a high-profile campaign of returning underage fighters, who they say joined voluntarily. In early March, the LTTE signed an action plan with UNICEF to address the rights of children affected by war. But in Tiger territory, the LTTE says they take care of thousands of children who lost their parents to the war in orphanages like this one. The LTTE's cadres all say they joined the movement voluntarily, and many insist that the LTTE has brought them personal liberation. Madi is a 23-year-old LTTE lieutenant. When she's not in the battlefield, she stands out from other women in the LTTE uniform of trousers, long shirt, and wide canvas belt.
As freedom fighters, we are ready to sacrifice our lives for our people. And because we fight for the Tamil people, we are respected. We move around the streets freely. Men do not bother us. We stand shoulder to shoulder with men when we fight, and this has changed our community's attitude to women.
Most women in the rebel-held territory agree that the LTTE's strong stance on the equality of women has improved their lives. But it's clear that it is the civilian population of northern Sri Lanka that continues to suffer the most from the fallout of 2 decades of war. There are over 1 million unexploded landmines laid by both sides strewn across the Tamil region of Sri Lanka, and almost 1 million Sri Lankans have been internally displaced by the war. Hundreds of thousands of Sri Lankans were disappeared during the war. In Jaffna, Sirlil Vilsami is still waiting for his son to return. He has been missing since the Sri Lankan army detained him over 5 years ago.
He was 20 years when he was missed. Now he must be 25 years, a young boy. He must be here, I think, but we don't know where. They have to answer us. They are not giving any answers. What are we to do?
After Vilsami's son disappeared, his daughter joined the LTTE to fight for her brother. She was killed in battle 6 months later. While the guns have fallen silent, the people of Sri Lanka are stranded somewhere between peace and war. Like Vilsami, they continue to wait for the dividends of what they hope will be a lasting peace. For Common Ground, I'm Miranda Kennedy with Matthew Power in Jaffna, Sri Lanka.